Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining us today here on New Life. We've got Dr. John Townsend in the studio today, and he's the author of a book, Loving People and Leadership Beyond Reason. So come join us today for New Life.
Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me in the studio in Laguna Beach, I'm here in Indianapolis. Joining me is Dr. John Townsend. Hello, Dr. John.
Hi, Steve. Hi, listening family.
Yeah, hi, listening family. And hi, John. How are you?
Good.
Good. Well, I'm just back from what used to be called the Christian Booksellers Association meeting, which is now called ICRS. And I think ICRS stands for I can't really share how bad the whole thing is. But anyway, every year we go, and one of us here on radio is usually honored in some way for the millionth selling book or a book that wins. And this year, nothing. So I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, but it's a down year from us. Let's just say that.
Well, Steve, Babe Ruth averaged what, 300 in his life? I mean, come on.
Yeah, but he was overweight and an alcoholic. I mean, when I hear that, I think, wow, if he didn't drink and wasn't overweight, can you imagine how many home runs that guy would have hit? But maybe that's a bad attitude about Babe Ruth. I do like his candy bar, though. I will say that.
Yeah, that's changed the lives of so many people, I've noticed.
Well, actually, it has more protein than other candy bars because of the peanuts on the outside. But you know what? We could talk candy bar all day long. John?
Steve.
John?
Yes.
You did a boundaries workshop thingy.
Boundaries boot camp. Boot camp is what we did. It was an intensive training on boundaries. Yeah, and we had a lot of... The fun part, Steve, I think, was the interaction with people because, you know, we've talked about this a lot, but everybody has a conversation that they kind of dread having, and how do I have that conversation with somebody where good things happen? So we role-played a bunch of them for people and trained them, and they came away, you know, understanding that good confrontations mean good relationships, and so they learn a redemptive way to do it.
That's right. I remember when you had that conversation with me, and my life has never been the same ever since you, you know, you took a risk and you approached me with that that amazingly difficult thing for me to hear. So thank you.
Well,
you remember what it was?
Yeah, I do.
What did you say?
I said I do remember it.
I'll tell you. Well, yeah, when you told me, Steve, you're not funny.
I have never, ever, that was a different conversation. I've never said that to you. I told somebody last week, I said, the guy could do stand-up. He could do it on his head. He could do it with, like, no props. You are the master of that. I will never say you're not funny. I'll talk about
you
a different
thing. You and Henry are always in, yeah, you and Henry are always encouraging me to be, I don't know, what is it, snippy? Or you think I'm funnier when I'm ripping something apart.
Yeah.
So I do that a lot.
It's the, loving sadism. Huh?
Yeah. Oh, do you remember confronting me about?
Oh, there was this business thing a long time ago, and it's all over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was good.
And you were so humble and such a model of redemption and wanting to do the right thing that I have always thought about
you. We were running our not-for-profit the way we used to run the for-profit. This was about, I don't know, what, 5 years, six uh-huh. years ago. And when we changed, everything changed for this ministry. And it was a great, great change. So thanks for the courage. Hey, we'll be back right after this for more of New Life Live.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and very, very glad that you've joined us. And I'll tell you what, let's just jump over here and go right to our calls. Let's talk to Mary. Now, Mary is calling us from Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Mary. Welcome to New Life.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
What's going on? Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for taking my call. And I just have a question. My son is presently separated, and their divorce will be final in October. And I was just, I've been supportive of him, of course. His wife had an affair, and she doesn't want to, like, do any counseling or that type of thing. She wants to get back with him. But he doesn't want to do that if she doesn't, do counseling and that type of thing.
But he'd be open to it if she would do counseling?
He's tried to get her to go. He's been to a counselor himself.
Just before we go further, Mary, it says a lot about the son you raised, that he would have the character to have that one of the most painful things you can have happen, which is your spouse to be unfaithful, and he's willing that if she'll get help to work things out. This says a lot about him as a man.
Well, yes, I agree with that, and that's why, I'm trying not to, get too involved, but I try to support him and try to not let him get pulled back into, a negative relationship, without her making some kind of change or going for help, really.
Sure.
Because she doesn't treat him very well anyway.
Okay. So what's your question?
Well, that's what I was wondering. It's gotten to, it's been almost, 6 months. And should I just, not say anything else anymore? Or should I still just, try to keep encouraging him to, build his life until she's ready or willing to do something.
Now, Mary, why would you ask whether you should keep encouraging your son or not? Where would the downside be?
Well, I don't think there's a downside to it.
Right.
I just don't want to overdo, things. But I've always tried to be supportive of my children.
What would overdo look like?
Let's see.
Like calling 3 times a day saying,
yes,
do the right thing.
But I don't do that.
Right. So
I did it first, probably. We talked a lot. But
yeah, I don't understand your concern because, people that love each other, stay in contact and say, how's the struggle going? And I'm on your team. What can I do? So I don't quite see the question.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't getting too overly, involved.
What would that look like?
Well, I'm backing off, like you just said. I just want to make sure I'm kind of in the right place. So I think I probably am then.
Let me tell you the rule of thumb, and then Steve, I want Steve to weigh in on this. The Bible tells us to constantly be speaking the truth in love with each other, right? Mm-hmm. And with people that the people that matter to us the most. And so you've told him what you think is the best thing to do. This is kind of my advice. And as your mom, who's not functioning as a mom anymore, as a, you know, someone who loves you, who's now your friend, this is my stand. This is what I did. I would do that so he knows your opinion. But then the rest of the time, I would just check and say, "How are you doing?" I would no longer say the same kind of advice over again because he mm-hmm. knows it. And that's what bugs people, and say, "How's it going?"
Right.
That's how we encourage people.
Right. Well, that's why his wife, she'll call him, and she just goes over the same thing all the time. You know, when she talks to him about the situation and all that, and it kind of, he's getting where he's not talking to her as much now, a little bit, backing mm-hmm. off a little bit, because she doesn't go back over and over the same thing. Because she's just stuck there.
Right.
Now, I do see her occasionally, and I don't know exactly what I should or not say to her.
Steve, what do you think?
I just try to say hi and, you know, not really.
Steve has a thought about that.
Well,
okay.
Well, I would probably tell your son, I'm not betraying you. I'm actually going to try to help the situation. And I'm just going to try to maintain my connection with her.
Hmm.
I'm not going to just say hi, but I'm going to send her notes. I'm going to make brownies. I'm just going to love on her. Because obviously, there's a love problem here from her past.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I would, you know, that's what I would do. And then for your son, I would say, son, you got some work to do. So don't be thinking about leave, go, stay. Think about better. You need to get better. Whether you stay together or not, you need to grow and encourage him to grow, mm-hmm. not bail out, leave, whatever. What do you think of that, John?
I really agree with that. And you know, Mary, the best stance anybody can take with someone who's kind of toxic, and I write this book in my book, Who's Pushing Your Buttons, is to what we call in psychology to de-invest from your need for that person. So something keeps him hanging on the phone longer than he should when she begins to get circular and say the same things over again, which means he probably still has a need for her to be happy or a need for her to love him in some way or a need for her to get it or a need for her to be, you know, less combative, whatever. And when you de-invest, you move to this stance, which I think is a very healthy stance with a difficult person. I love that person because God wants me to love, but I don't need anything from that person. When you remove the need and you keep the love, then you know the right things to do. And I would convey that to him. We'll send you a copy of the book.
Okay.
Glad you called. Anybody else want to join us here? 1-800-229-3000. That is the phone number. We're going to be in the studio for 3 hours, so come join us if you have a hard time getting through, and try in the next hour. And when I say hour, I'm talking about 10 a.m. Pacific time. That's the time that we record this show. If you're on tape delay, that's the time we do it live, and then we'll tape another couple of shows right after this one. 1-800-229-3000 to join us, and 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about what's coming up weekend after next in Columbus, Ohio. That's the New Life weekend. We're all going to be there. I'll be in Cleveland with my family for the Women of Faith weekend this weekend. But then we go to Columbus the following weekend, and it's going to be an amazing time of sharing and growing and building. And if you've been looking for something that just might change everything or change something that you've been wanting to change for a long time, you come and join us, and you find out about that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New life.
Hey,
now,
Steve, I talked to somebody at our weekend who said that they went to the grief track of the weekend, and that it was extremely. She said my mom had passed away, and I was really, really stuck with the deep feelings. And the grief part of the New Life weekend sort of changed everything for me. It was a great job, great experience.
That's so neat. Let me read you a prayer from somebody. They said, "I pray that the weekend in Columbus goes well. And we'll pray that everyone is filled with the hope, love, and joy that only our Lord can provide. I found the hope that I was missing at the New Life Weekend in Anderson several years ago, a hope that makes life worth living. Isn't that great? So you come and join us if you're looking for that. Now let's go to Shirley from Baltimore, Maryland. WOSR is the station. Hello, Shirley. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Speak right up there, Shirley.
I'm all right. I'm doing fine.
Well, good.
I have a question. I have two. If you have time to answer two, that'll be good. I'll start with the first one.
Well, if the first one's really, really, really easy and we can use, like, short words, we'll go to two.
I don't know about that. I've been having a problem with major depression and anxiety for, like, 20, 25 years. That was the first time. Now, it seemed like to have picked up some more often hospitalizations. I mean, I have medicine, that's one thing, but when you have to go in the hospital, that's something else. So it gets in the way of my job. But my question is, my medical insurance is changing. My medical insurance is changing, and I'm trying to find out what can I say to my new doctors that will not just label me psychotic and, you know, not even know me or understand me or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? Even with my doctors that I have now, as soon as they see that, like I went to the hospital one time, I couldn't hardly breathe, and they just right away say, oh, you're just having a panic attack. Just calm down and send me home, when it could have been something else. You know what I'm saying?
Now, wait a second. Hold on a second. You went to the hospital, had a panic attack, they said calm down, and sent
you home. I was having a hard time breathing. They labeled it a panic attack and told me to go home. I'm trying
to find out. Well, even if they thought it was a panic attack, I just think that's incredible.
I'm trying to think.
Well, let me tell you
what kind of words, or what can I say to my new doctors? I'm getting a whole new set of doctors.
Okay.
And I would, I would rather not them just label me.
I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you.
Okay. How you going
to
help me?
Actually, having been to
us. Because it's very important because.
Okay, here goes. Having been to a psychiatrist, I think I can help you. And that is that, number one, you make a commitment to yourself to be honest. Number two, you write down before you go to the psychiatrist what you want to say. And because you're going to be a little bit anxious with a new person anyway. So you just say to the person, you know, I really wanted to be sure that I asked you the right questions and told you the right thing. So I wrote this down. Don't label me obsessive compulsive. And then you just you pull out your sheet and you say, I'm trying to be as honest as I can. And one of the things that I'm afraid of is that I've kind of gotten caught up in this industrialized medicine where I'm just a thing or a diagnosis, and people just kind of pigeonholed me. And I'm coming to you because I want you to take a fresh look at me. Now, here are the symptoms that I had before I started getting help. Here are some symptoms that I have today. These are the symptoms that I struggle with today. And here are the medications that I'm on. And, you know, here's what I'm afraid of. And I'd just like you to, you know, get to know me two or three times here before I just get put in a particular diagnosis. And then you say this, you know, I've had a lot of people that have spent a lot of time on my diagnosis. I'd really like someone to help me understand the problem that leads to the diagnosis. Psychiatrist will sit back and go,
I don't know why it won't go away.
No, but he won't. Well, don't have that attitude. Stop it. You might say, wow, that's somebody that really wants to get better, and I want to help this person.
But, you know,
but you're going to have to let him talk when he wants to talk, because, you know, people like him and me, when we're talking, we like to talk. John, do you have a thought on this?
Yeah, Shirley. It's not all bad to have a tough diagnosis, because you want to know what's real, because you can't be treated for what you really struggle with if you don't know what's real. So I really like what Steve said about being honest, not only in I'm going to tell the new doctor the truth, but I want to know what my condition is because I want the best help possible. The other part of that is, and Steve was kind of talking about this too, about how do I get past this. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 7, a good tree makes good fruit and a bad tree makes bad fruit. You want to talk to your psychiatrist about, I want to go beyond medication on this. Are there other things I can do in emotional growth, talk therapy, counseling, getting to the root? If there's something that's not biological, something that's not chemical, if there's something relational that relates to losses in my life, pains, hurts, abuse, lack of control, lack of relationship, I want to get to that too. So push your psychiatrist, and they appreciate this. I want to get real help too, so I get the medical part and the relational part.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come right back. And I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice. I hope that that'll give you some great insight there. And all of you psychiatrists, I know many psychiatrists listen because they want to know what to say to their patients. And if you're listening, get involved in something beyond that diagnosis. You know, we're real people out here. We've got real issues. We want somebody to dig in. One of the things about my psychiatrist is he really cares. I mean, he knows my life, and it's really great. A lot of people think that he maybe is prescribing the wrong medication. I think he's right on them. Anyway, we'll go.
Hi, this is Steve Arterman from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
It is probably one of the best crash courses in Bible you would ever have in your whole life.
We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Love to hear from you. You can write us at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend. Just want to mention a couple of minutes here, John. We talk about psychiatry. We talk about emotional problems and all. But, you know, a lot of people that get help from us have addiction problems. And addiction, even more than an emotional problem, it seems to lend itself to denial more by the person and by the people around that person. And I want to encourage people that, you know, if you are an enabler, if you're a perpetrator, or if you're an addict, that you call us and get some help, because I've never seen such radical recovery as I do in addiction. You know, when people recover emotionally after seeing a psychiatrist, then that's great. But it just doesn't seem as totally complete often as you see a complete turnaround in addiction and the 12 steps. Don't you find that to be true?
Yeah, I think one reason for that, Steve, is that you've got not only an emotional issue, but you've also got a behavior problem That's like destroying that's life, right. Like the financial aspect, yep. And relationships getting torn apart and all this. So it has this kind of this outworking in all these crises and areas of life. So it's not just kind of internal, I'm in pain. I am like a wrecking ball in my life, or I'm being wrecked. So when you finally stop the madness and you deal with it, and you deal with the spiritual aspects and the deeper aspects of the emotional part and the biological part, as we say, you know, surround a person with health, it's radical. It's like a 180. I love to hear those stories because people say, you have no idea how out of control I was, and now things are a 180 in all those areas.
You know what? One of the greatest insights I ever received, and I've been working with addicts since, if you can believe this, 1973. But when I realized that, you know, the difference between why a, like what you'd call a social drinker and an alcoholic, the difference in why they drink?
No.
Okay. I mean, you do know, but you're just setting me
up. But it's
thinking.
A good setup, you know.
There is no difference in why a social drinker drinks and why an alcoholic drinks. They both want to feel differently from the alcohol. Mm-hmm. If you didn't, you'd do like me. You'd drink a near beer, which should never be even named something near because it doesn't even taste like something near. It tastes like essence of beer. But anyway, that's another issue. But if you didn't want to alter your mood, you wouldn't drink a mood-altering substance. The dilemma is the alcoholic, no matter how hard they try to just have that one drink, like a social drinker, for relief, it takes 20 or 10. And so there's where the addiction process comes in. But, you know, we're all alike here. It's just that something tragic has happened. And I got to tell you, one of my friends right now is on his deathbed in San Diego. And I just pray for Jan. Liver, pancreas, they're dead. Mm. And he's going to die. And he's one of the most handsome, talented people I've ever known in my life. And there's Mike. It's just like Michael Jackson. The guy died because of an addiction. And so is my friend Jan. And if you have to wait that long before you get help, and you will get help when you're dying, it's just not going to fix it. And you can fix it. So you call us right now if somebody in your family is an addict, or you are. Just say, you know, when I quit drinking, John, I said this to myself. You know what? I think I've had my share. I think I've had my share.
My allotment's up.
Yeah, I said, you know, I've had my allotment. I'm fine. And here I've got a daughter who's never experimented with alcohol and drugs. I think I can do without this too. Mm-hmm. And it just, boom, it went away just like that. Now I've been recovering for a long time from a lot of things. So I just slipped that in with the recovery from other things. But you can do that if you're an addict. And, man, what a cool thing to know that you've got this chronic, fatal illness, and all you have to do is go to a meeting to begin the turnaround. All you've got to do is have a willingness to comply. And I think the most exciting recoveries are people that recover from addiction because it can be so total and complete.
You know, Steve, in Galatians 5,
yes, sir.
The Bible teaches us in Galatians 5 that it was for freedom Christ set us free, and it says, don't go back to the prison of slavery. In other words, if you've got a substance or an activity that you kind of have to have in order to feel okay, to feel calmed down or to be a stress release, then you're in prison. You're imprisoned to that thing. And the whole message of the gospel is that we want to make choices during the day that are based on our values and love and relationship and God and what the healthy thing is. So the more we work on transforming out of the addictions, the more you're a free person, you're out of jail. That's the whole message.
Yeah, really good. Well, we do have an addiction treatment center. And if you want to join that New Life program or somebody you love, you do call us right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll help you. You know, John, one of the things I found is when someone calls and says, you know, I may have a problem with alcohol or drugs, and how do I know if I really do? I like to say to them, I think you know. Because rarely does a person wake up one day and say, you know, I wonder if this green bean thing that I've got going here, I wonder if I'm eating too many green beans.
President Bush, you know, thought he didn't like broccoli, the old President Bush.
Yeah, no, well, you know, well, he is a recovering alcoholic, and he's probably he needed to move into that broccoli area. But a lot of times, you know, we just yeah. what we're really looking for is confirmation.
Yeah. Give me the courage to look at the truth. Give me the courage to look at the reality.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. If you want to help, want a little help with some addiction, we'll do it. You just call us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Got the best program ever. And then there are other things. Man, if I had a family member, I would put them in the New Life program right now.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program. This is Terry McIntosh, and I hope you're enjoying this classic program from the New Life Live archives. I want to take just a minute to remind you of several ways you can catch New Life Live if you miss us here on the radio. All of our shows are archived online at newlife.com. We're also available as a podcast and in the New Life app, so you can listen on the go. And you can stream us live at 10 a.m. Pacific time at newlife.com. Also, if you're ordering things on Amazon, you can help New Life out by using smile.amazon.com and choosing New Life Ministries as your charity of choice. We're the one in Lake Forest, California. So the next time you're ordering that new TV or some laundry detergent or something, you can contribute to reaching hurting people. Now let's get back to our classic program from the New Life Archives.
We're back to you, Arterburn, here, and someone on our blog, which you can blog and you can view this program at newlife.com, but someone reminded that chocolate might be one of those things that you need to look at as being addicted to. And I just want to go on record here, John, as saying absolutely not. There is no chocolate addiction.
I'm so glad you said that. You know, we look forward to it, Steve, but we could stop any time. In fact, as long as we don't eat chocolate alone, then we're not, you know, isolated and that sort of thing.
Exactly.
So make sure that we're together and we're eating chocolate. Which takes us back to the baby Ruth, and I think it kind of pulls the circle, full circle on the show, really.
Really, it's the circle of life.
The circle of life.
Yeah.
All right. Circle of poundage.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you do circle up right around that waist. Anyway, that's why I love doing radio with John is he goes with me. You know, he's so good. He just goes with it, and nobody does it like he does.
Steve,
Tyrone from Washington.
You and I just go to a lot of dark places together, but God brings us out.
Well, we've been to a lot of dark places together. All right, let's go to Tyrone, Washington, D.C., WAVA. Hello, Tyrone. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. Well, how could we help you, Tyrone?
I have a quick question on how to get someone. My my fiance to go to counseling. I try to make this as quick as possible. We met at work years ago. She was seeing someone at the time. We were just friends. Yeah. I used to advise her about relationships. That relationship mm-hmm. didn't work out. A year later, we actually started to date. Unfortunately,
was she married in that relationship or single?
I'm sorry?
Was the relationship she was concerned about, was she married or single?
No, they were just dating. She was single.
Okay. All right. So now you started dating her.
Nah, I started dating her. We date for 2 years. 2 years later, we had a child. We decided to be engaged and get married. We bought a house. We set a date. We had a second child. Now, what was happening all during that time that the issue is she's the worst person in the world about trust. She trusts no one. All of her previous relationships and the one when I met her, she had a problem trusting. That's why I used to advise her. I'm like, you have to trust. You're not going to be successful in a relationship.
Tyrone, is her lack of trust the reason that you guys didn't get married before you had kids?
Well, it did. It is and it isn't. I mean, we shouldn't have been having relationships before we got married anyway, but we did. And the reason why we didn't make it to marriage had to do with trust.
Okay.
She was doing things like going through my computer, going through my phone, and calling people, calling any female name I had in there. Mm-hmm. And these were working.
But Tyrone.
Coaches. Yes.
Tyrone, if yes. you knew she had a trust issue, the best thing you could have done would be to secure her trust by letting her know that she was safe with you. That you weren't going to have sex outside of marriage with her, thus setting the precedent that you wouldn't have it after you're married. So here's what I'd say. I'd say part of the solution is you earning her trust.
I agree with that. Okay.
All right. So, John, what do you think?
I agree with that, Tyrone, that people don't have trust issues unless they've been hurt in trust. And you mentioned she's got a history of that, right? So she's kind of saying, since I've gotten hurt so much, I don't trust Tyrone. So what I would say to her is, we need two things here. I will be as scrutinizable as possible, and you can look anywhere, and here's my text message and all that. And I would do that with someone. But I also, if that doesn't work, I'm going to...
Yes, I tried that.
You tried what? Making yourself open?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely, positively. Okay. I was
then Tyrone, when you go to her and you say, this is a trust issue, does she say, I have a trust issue, or does she say, I don't, you're not trustworthy? They're two different things.
You're absolutely right. And she used to fight me on it. We went to seek help, professional help. And after seeking professional help, which she didn't finish, she started admitting that she had a trust issue then. And there's a lot of other things that I...
Tyrone.
Yes.
Why did she not continue? Because a lot of counseling is for the express purpose of healing trust issues. What made her drop out?
She said she felt like me and the counselor were ganging up on her.
Okay. All right, then find another one.
And this was a Christian counselor.
Tyrone, find another one. If it's that severe and it's messed up that many of her relationships, you're going to have to get a professional in here and say to her, let's find one you feel comfortable with that nobody's ganging up, but I'm having kids with you, and I want to marry you, and this can't work if we don't heal this. And I would really press her on this, but you've got to get her to have a professional that she'll accept and put the ball in her court.
Right. Okay.
We can find some referrals for you in the area, too, because we know where you are, so that'll be part of it.
Well, and actually,
right, Tyrone,
I
you all
before.
On.
Yeah, but that's good.
We'll try again.
Well, sometimes, Steve, you see this a lot in couples counseling where one person will say, well, you know, you're ganging up on me, so I'm out of here. And so what I always recommend people do, because it happens a lot, is you don't take off the pressure to get counseling, but you tell the spouse that's saying I got ganged up on is okay, I'm going to find three, and I'm going to find three that are well, you know, have a good reputation and well thought of in the community and got them from New Life and whatever, and I want you to pick the one. I want input in here, but I want you to pick the one you feel like gets it. And then they have a lot less excuse, and they feel safe, and they feel like the person's for both of them and that sort of thing. It's when they feel like they're getting dragged in so they can get beat up on because they're an addict or in their denial or whatever. It just doesn't work very well.
Yeah. All right. Hey, let's jump over here to line five. Welcome to New Life Live. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Great. What's your name?
Well, my name is Wonderson. And
nice to meet you. Thanks for joining us.
Excuse me?
Thanks for joining us. Your question is what?
Well, my question is actually about marriage, because I was married for 6 years, almost seven, actually. And when I got, I was raised in a Christian family, you know, so my father and mom taught me, you know, that marriage is a one and a lifetime thing, you know, you're not able to, you know, marry, divorce. But unfortunately, what happened to me, I'm actually separated from my wife now, because once we did get married, she told me, you know, I was the only man in her life, you know, that she was a virgin and all. And we got married, and then like a year and a half ago, I actually found out that she had a boyfriend before me, and she actually slept with him. And I could never forgive her until we actually got divorced. Well, not legally divorced yet, but just coming through. And I couldn't, you know, I'm working towards forgiving her. But my question is actually regarding what Jesus said on the Bible for the exception of remarrying again, because I do not want to commit adultery. Okay, that is my.
Well, wait a second.
And do exception of Jesus? And my
hold on a second. Hold the train here. Hold the train here.
Okay,
Steve,
all right.
And I have some thoughts about this.
Yeah, if you're going to be dragging Jesus into this, I wouldn't be focusing on. With the exception and all of that, I'd be focusing on what his whole life stood for. And, John, you want to take it from here?
Well, yeah, the first thing I would say is, what is her attitude when you found out and you found out that she had not, that she'd lied to you? What was her attitude?
Well, she was very sorry. You know, she was very sorry, remorseful.
Why are you back? Then why are
you? Never actually got along, you know, and I tried to give her a chance. Really did give a nice try.
What do you mean not get along? What does not get along? Was she like
she's very,
violent with you?
She's very disrespectful. You know, she says bad things about my family, which I do care a lot about. Okay, my cell phone is dying, so if it dies, listen to the answer on the radio.
I don't think you have a case for divorce.
I see today, I will not get back to her. But if I see that it is a sin to remarry again, if I will be living in adultery,
wait a second.
We're not.
Hold on a
second. We disagree with you.
It is a sin to not forgive her
and try to work it out. And you're bailing on your wife, and God put you together, and we disagree with you.
And guess what? You've got to look at, why was I not a safe person for her to say, there's something I need to take before we got married? You've got to look at that. We don't want to negate the problem of her deceiving you. We don't want to negate the problem that she had sex outside of marriage. But then once those things happen, boy, that's the tough thing about being a Christian, is it throws it over into our lap.
And third mile walking here to do, buddy.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, we'll talk more about this and preach and all that stuff right after this.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here. I'm really looking forward to being with a lot of wonderful people at our Life Recovery Conference. It's a great time to get a little boost in your recovery, gain some new insight from some great people who understand addiction, recovery, and all that the 12 steps can do down the path toward healing and hope and wholeness. Come join us for the Life Recovery Conference. It's always a great time for anyone who's interested in what are those 12 steps and how better can I utilize them in my life and my recovery. You can even learn how to run a group. Maybe you never thought about doing that, but you'll feel competent and confident after the Life Recovery Conference.
The Life Recovery Conference is coming to Orange County, California, Saturday, October 6th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to liferecoverygroups.com.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband.
How did we become this distant? I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend. And here's a guy that really is trying to do the right thing. And oftentimes we get confused in what that is, and that's why we're glad that we have the program here. John, why don't you just... Why don't you just go ahead and finish up here?
Well, our caller, your wife lied to you about sexual indiscretion before you're married. She deceived you, and she's disrespectful. This is what we're saying. You're saying, and you're mm-hmm. called, and you're asking. Well, now that I'm divorcing her for all that, is it okay to get remarried? And Steve and I went, hey, hold the train, pull this backward. We just disagree with your entire stance here, is that nobody's negating that marriage is tough, and if everything you say is true, then your wife has some changing and, you know, growing and repenting to do. And you did mention she was very, very remorseful. So what I want you to do is to go back to your wife and say, I've really been hurt, and I want to work it out because I believe in you and me, and I love you, and it's hard for me to be close to you, but I love you, and we're going to get some help. But the mistake you're making is, well, things are tough, and she hasn't been great with me. Nobody's negating how bad she was. Things are tough, so I'm moving on. And I guarantee you, you're going to have problems in the next and the next and the next marriage if that's your kind of stance toward marriage. It's got to be staying in there in the good times and the bad times. If you remember the vows, sickness and health and, you know, weak and poor and all that sort of, and rich and poor and all that. So I see a fundamental problem in you getting out of a situation where you feel discomfort, and I want you to move back into that situation with help, with counselors, with a healthy church, with prayer, and begin to work that out.
Yeah. All right. I'll tell you this. I'm going to send him a copy of Forgiving the Unforgivable, and I think that could be a great book for you. But, John, I think this is just such an excellent example of how we get confused in our faith, and sometimes our own entitlement gets in the way of what is the right thing to do. Barbara from Philadelphia, your last caller today.
Hello. Hi, yes. Hello.
How can we help you?
Yeah, my question is, do you agree that Christians should be eating pork?
Well,
depends on how it's cooked.
It depends. Yeah, if it's rare pork,
rare
the trichinosis worm.
Sushi pork. I don't do sushi pork personally.
No sushi pork. Yeah. No sashimi pork.
No sashimi.
Not a good thing.
Stay away from that. We're kind of having a fun time with you, Barbara. But in the book of Acts, Peter said he didn't want to eat pork when the big vision came to him. And the Lord said to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And what he was saying was that the old covenant's over of getting God to love you through your behavior, and lots of things are okay now that were not okay in the Old Testament. So if it's for moral reasons, you can eat pork. But health reasons, that's different. That's up to you. How's that for an answer?
Yeah, but that was not the meaning of the parable. That was like a parable, that you should go to Cornelius, a non-Jew. It had nothing to do with food.
Okay. Okay, let me just share this with you, okay? Because I'm a non-pork eater, because in my former life I was a porker, you could say, or I took on pork. But I don't eat pork. But I think it's okay to eat pork.
Can I read?
I just don't eat.
Isaiah 66, verse 17.
Sure.
Okay. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
It says, "They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, said the Lord. And in Leviticus 11, the clean food law, as cleanly stated, that we should not eat pork.
Who's the we? Christians? Does it say in the New Testament, I mean, in the Old Testament, the Christians shouldn't? It doesn't.
In Leviticus 11, where the clean food laws are given, it says, I can read, you want me to read it?
Sure.
Well, I don't think you need to, but, well okay, I mean, John, what's you doing? So if he does, then obviously that's the right answer. Go for it. Read it.
It says in Leviticus 11, verse 7, and the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven for it, yet he chew it not the cud. He is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall you not eat, and their carcass shall you not touch. They are unclean to you.
Okay.
There is a lot of debate, and I want to affirm you that, you know, you're studying a subject that people talk about, Barbara, but most theologians that have kind of struggled with this, they talk about the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament, like how the sacrificial system worked and what kind of things to wear and what kind of how much cotton to wear and how much linen, how much wool to wear, and that would go under the ceremonial laws, which most people say that, you know, we're no longer under those things. Like Paul talks about in Romans 14, verse 17, he says, the kingdom of God does not consist in eating and drinking. And so, you know, this is it's a minor issue, but it needs to be debated. But my view would be that those kind of dietary ceremonial laws are no longer in effect for a Christian. So,
yeah,
there you have
it. See, if you go with those laws, then you got to look over there in Leviticus 21:18. It says, for no one who has a defect shall approach a blind man, a lame man, he who has a disfigured face, or any deformed limb, a man who has a broken foot or a broken hand, a hunchback, a dwarf, or one who has a defect in his eye or eczema.
Right.
Now, I have eczema, so I wouldn't, and then a problem with the other body parts there. So I would just say, you know, if you're going to look at one of the things in Leviticus, then look at all of them, and then you come to realize, oh, there were moral laws, there were ceremonial laws, there was God's law that was not changing, but, you know, there were legalities that were enforced in those days for certain reasons that no longer need to be or are enforced. Is that the way you look at it, John?
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay, thanks, Barbara.
There you go. Yeah. I just think that this whole eczema scab thing, don't approach. Hey, have you slipped and you got a skinned knee? I'm not touching you, buddy. All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, come join us. We talked about addiction. Man, what a sad thing that you could be totally free and you walk around dragging that addiction bag around. Don't do it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We've got a lot of things for you, including resources like the Beyond Suicide CD with Jill and I. Every Man's Battle is on August the 3rd. That is in Orange County. And I would just absolutely love to see you come. Ladies, 75% of the first phone calls are from women looking into it and then saying to him, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, get yourself there, and let's get this sexual integrity thing cleared up. This isn't for sex addicts, you know. You can be a sex addict and go, but don't think it's just for people that are stuck on pornography or anything that might say, okay, well, that's not really for me. It's for men who need help with sexual integrity. Life Recovery Conference, that's October the 6th, and that's in Orange County also. That's over at Mariners Church. It's a great boost to your recovery, and it can also give you the help you need to strengthen the group you're in or to launch out and start a new group. So 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about that. We'd love to see you there. We love you, and we really know, as many of you, you're not reaching out to anybody. You're just listening right here. Well, don't give up. God's going to give you the courage to finally reach out and get the help that you need. We're always there for you at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.